There are warnings issued to us every day. Nevertheless, oftentimes they are ignored. Perhaps it's one's daily routine that they take a certain route to the work, to shops, or to the school. Then a sign appears at the end of a certain road saying road closed. But they still proceed on, hoping that they will get to their destination, maintaining their traditional route. Avoiding then going an alternative way. I recently saw a picture of a pizza box which bore the warning open box before eating the pizza. I expect we would all agree that such a warning was far from necessary. However, every so often a warning comes along, and when it is ignored, it becomes a catastrophe. When we are well aware of the story, each one of us, we are well aware of the story of the Belfast Titanic. That ship that was built, and the finger of blame is pointed for its demise at Captain E.J. Smith. This was his retirement trip. All he had to do was get to New York in a record time. Captain Smith had said years previous, before the Titanic's voyage, "I cannot imagine any condition which would cause a ship to founder. Modern shipbuilding has gone way beyond that." Captain Smith went on to ignore 7 iceberg warnings from his crew and from other ships around. If only he had called for the Titanic to slow down or to change course, there would have been a possibility perhaps that the disaster could have been averted. However, the facts remains. The warning of icebergs was ignored, resulting in just over 1,500 souls being ushered out into God's eternity. God's Word, the Bible, is a book which is full of mercy and grace. It presents to us the glorious message, the glorious gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, He who came to a fallen world to reconcile fallen man to Himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Consequently, it contains within its pages a wonderful message. It has many, many warnings that are also contained within it. For those who refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. In our reading this evening, we have seen a warning issued to Lot and to his family in the city of Sodom. And like the captain of the Titanic, there were those of that city who had been warned and still chose to ignore the warning. Oh, Lot enjoyed many blessings, but how sad the situation he was found in after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you're not familiar with the account of Lot, you can read it for yourself in Genesis chapters 12 through to 19. Sadly, Lot having had the privilege of being in the company of faithful Abraham, he found himself in the sinful city of Sodom. Even though we read of in 2 Peter 2 verses 7 and 8 that just Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot had seen the Lord's guiding, his preserving hand. He had worshipped at Abram's altar. However, his actions were to have far-reaching ramifications. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, we read that because of the wickedness within these cities, the Lord demanded justice for their sin. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah was great, Genesis 18, 20 and 21, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Abraham, as we know, he sought the Lord, that he would spare the people if there were 10 righteous people found within it. And we know the outcome. There in the opening verses of this chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and the men said unto Lot, we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. The warning of the angels did not come to the men of Sodom. Rather, it came to Lot. Lot had chosen to go and to dwell in this terrible, wicked city of Sodom, as he had walked by sight. The fact that the angels met him at the gate tells us that he was a man of authority. As the gate of the city was there where business was transacted. If you want to turn over with me just as we highlight this point in Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4 in the verse 1. We read there of Boaz, then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. You see, the gate of the city was a place where business was done. It was a place where legal matters were dealt with, where legal matters were settled. And that's what we read of here, even in Ruth 4 and verse 1. This was the case of Boaz. He went to fulfill his role there as kinsman redeemer at the gate of the city. It seems Lot tried to reform or teach the citizens in the city of Sodom. However, his words fell upon deaf ears. They rejected his message, although they accommodated him. They showed by their words and actions that they thought very little of him and his God, because they loved their sin. The men of Sodom were intent upon bullying, and or rather buying and selling, building and planting, marrying and being given in marriage, only to satisfy themselves. As the angels came onto the city, the outcome of the inhabitants, sadly, it was already sealed. Their outcome was sealed. And tonight, for our remaining moments together, I want to just present to you, very simply, three warnings from the Word. As we've said already, there are many warnings to be found within God's precious Word. But it's three warnings in particular tonight I want to draw your attention to. The first of which is a warning to Lot's sons-in-law. They're in Genesis 19, 12 through 14. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. The Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. A warning to his sons-in-law. Lot, being a just man, sought to warn his sons-in-law of the danger that would befall them if they did not listen to the warning which the angels brought. But sad to say, the words that fell upon deaf ears. Like many today, they've heard the warning. Heard the warning over and over again. They've been preaching in the open air. They've heard the warning. Some have listened in online. They've heard the warning. But yet they have chose to ignore it. Like many today that have heard the warning, ignored the warning. They even think that we have lost our mind. And they believe, these sons-in-laws of Lot, that he had lost his mind. When he spoke of the utmost seriousness to his sons-in-law about the judgment of God, they didn't even believe him. They didn't believe him. His warning had no effect upon them. They refused to receive the offer of mercy. They saw no danger. All things around them were as they had always been. There were no signs that so terrible a destruction was prepared and just about to fall. How many today across our land have enjoyed the privilege of hearing the warning of God presented to them, the glorious gospel, that way of escape. They have heard the good news of the gospel upon the knee of a godly mother or godly grandmother. Tell me tonight, is that you in our meeting? You can remember listening to your mother praying. A grandmother, perhaps you sat round a deathbed. You were called upon to come to be there at the passing of a loved one. They told you, they looked you in the eye and they said, "Will I see you in heaven? Are you ready to go?" Yet tonight, you give no heed to the warning. Heard the good news of the gospel. Reject the warning. Listened as faithful children's workers, Sunday school teachers have sought to present to you the way of salvation. And yet with all that you have learned, scripture verses even circulating within your mind as I speak, and yet you still reject the offer of the gospel. There are many who sit and even perhaps outwardly look interested, but yet dismiss the message of eternal judgment as scaremongering by a preacher. Sadly, there may be those who are listening in today, and they too are of a similar opinion. Perhaps you have listened for many years, listened for a lifetime, and yet you look around you and you think things have just continued to be the same. All things perhaps in society have got a little worse, but by and large things are the same in your mind. You're just as Lot's sons-in-law this day. What has really changed? Life goes on. I will continue to enjoy myself. You know, a man comes to mind that used to come to the farm and he would have called in from time to time. And when I sought opportunity to witness to him, he says, "Simon, give over. I don't want to hear. You go your way and I'll go mine. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time." Is that you tonight? No interest in the warning. Oh, God has been good to you. He's good to you even right now. As you listen to the gospel being presented to you again, another opportunity, another warning presented to you. Sadly, the reaction of this man is no different to the reaction of many in our society today. Oh, the old Bible is out of date. Christians, oh, they're old-fashioned, they're out of touch. They, like Lot's sons-in-laws, refuse to heed the warning. Yet we're reminded in the words of Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy." A warning to Lot's sons-in-law, but see also with me a warning to Lot's wife. A warning to Lot's wife. Sad to say there are many folks like Lot's wife across this land today. There are many warnings for her, but there is one that stands out there in verse 17. Those four words, "Escape for thy life." Escape for thy life. I was just thinking there prior coming into the pulpit of my upbringing, and the troubles were at their height, and those of you with any knowledge of South Armagh, well, it was like living in a war zone. There were many great atrocities. There was much loss of life. There was a bomb scare almost every day at times. And the cry went up to, "Run for your life! Escape for thy life!" And here's the warning to you tonight. Escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And then again in verse 22, Lot's wife receives this warning. Haste thee, escape thither. Someone as well said, Lot's wife is a type of those who are convinced, yet never converted. Who flee from the wrath to come, yet sadly perish after all. In verse 26 of Genesis 19, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Many people who attend our churches have heard the warning, flee from the wrath which is to come. Some have sought to make the escape, but sadly they look back and are eternally lost. There are those who sense in some form the danger, as it were, of dying without Christ as Lord and Saviour. Nevertheless, when these thoughts subside, they look back and are eternally lost. And so it is with Lot's wife. She was not like the men of Sodom. She was not like the sons-in-laws which mocked and jested. They were content with the things of the world and of sin. They were quite unconcerned about their salvation. Lot's wife was not like them. She did not think her husband was joking or mocking. She was sincerely alarmed. She actually fled. Yet her fears were like the morning sunrise, which quickly dispels the darkness of the night, as one has said. When the angel had brought them out of the gates of Sodom, they said those words of warning, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. While these dreadful words were ringing in her ears, her concern remained. Oh, she considered the scene perhaps of the previous night, the darkness, the anxiety of her husband, the urgency of the angels, the near riot that was outside the home. It stirred her natural conscience, causing her to consider the urgency of her situation. As she made her way then, the sun was already rising there on the horizon, promising a glorious day ahead. The turmoil of the night, oh, it had passed. The new day dawned. The city began to stir just in the same way that it had done every other morning. Her sons-in-law, her friends, her house, her goods, her treasure, where was it? It was all still in Sodom. And sadly, men and women, that's where her heart remained also. Her heart was in Sodom. Her anxieties, her apprehensions began to vanish with the darkness. She determined to take just one more look to see was it actually destroyed. Just one more look. Little did she know it was to be her last look. But his wife looked back from behind him and became a pillar of salt. Considering these three warnings from the word, we've considered a warning to Lot's sons-in-law, a warning to Lot's wife, but see also, and all importantly tonight, a warning to you. A warning to you. What about you this evening that's seated here before me in this gathering, or those that are listening in online on this webcast? In Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus reiterated these warnings in his ministry. In Luke 17 and verse 28 through to 32, we read, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Three words, remember Lot's wife. God's warning to you tonight. Oh, it's not Simon Anderson's warning. You needn't worry about Simon Anderson. It's God's warning to you. Remember Lot's wife. This verse is a warning to you against loving the world instead of pursuing the grace of God with all of your heart. Christ is here saying, remember the warning. that Lot's wife received, and yet she rejected God's offer of mercy, caused her to perish in hell for all eternity. Tell me tonight, can you recall when the gospel of Christ was preached, perhaps, and you sat in the church pew feeling some sense of discomfort or terror? Perhaps you even shed tears. Such was the move upon your heart as the Spirit challenged you of your sinfulness before a thrice holy God. Notwithstanding the plea of the gospel preacher, you've gone on and on and on to reject God's offer of salvation. Perhaps you remember those restless nights, or that particular restless night, and then the daybreak came. The darkness passed by. The terror of hell for all eternity, oh, it disappeared. The thoughts of eternity subsided. You look back, and tonight you're found here in this meeting. You're still lost. The Lord says to you, remember Lot's wife. It's a warning to you. So many dangerous situations people have faced in their lives, near-death experiences, yet today found outside of Christ. Sometimes when the reality of life and death stares us in the face, we take things quite in earnest. But then as time goes on, we try to clean up our lives, perhaps, and make some changes. Perhaps you've tried reading your Bible, attempting to pray, really seeming as if you're trying to flee, as it were, out of Sodom. Perhaps even a profession of faith has been made. Then the situation changes. Health improves. Oh, business wasn't great, but then it has improved. Eternal things then set again to one side. Thoughts of eternity begin to vanish. Dear unsaved friend tonight in the meeting, can you relate to what I'm saying? Is this warning? A warning to you? It sure is. Remember Lot's wife. Perhaps you'd never say the minister was mocking with their warning of God's wrath and judgment upon sin and upon the sinner. You read your Bible, you pray earnestly perhaps, but you've always looked back. Come so far and then look back. You know, regardless of age tonight, young or older, the warning remains, a stark warning here before us. Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. What's that? Something hard and immovable. And you know, men and women, tonight there's nothing breaks this preacher's heart more than looking down at someone's face from the pulpit. And it's evident that they're hard and immovable. And Lord, we cry unto the Lord tonight, if that's you in this building, that He be pleased to soften your heart. He'll move, draw you graciously unto Himself, that you'll heed the warning. This warning that has been presented to you this very evening. If Lot had not been anxious about going, would she ever have been anxious? Would she ever have moved? Would she ever have gone even as far as what she did? Oh, Lot caused her to be concerned. She had shared with her husband Lot in all of his trials, troubles. Would she leave him now? One Bible commentator notes that natural affection carried her out of Sodom, but it didn't carry her into Zoar. She looked back from behind them and became a pillar of salt. You know, I was just thinking of those words as I was going through the message this afternoon. She looked back from behind them. And it caused me to think, as I was preparing for this message or this meeting this evening, is there a husband here or is there a wife here? Is there a child here? Or listening in with to this meeting tonight and you're following from behind? Oh, your father is saved and you're following from behind. My parents were saved. My brothers and sisters were saved. But it was never going to mean that I was saved. You need to come to Christ yourself as you are. Maybe there's a wife here tonight following from behind. Faithful wife. You look like a Christian. Act like a Christian. But you know in your heart you're not right. You're not a Christian. If this was your last service tonight, you know you're headed for a lost eternity if you're to pass away. As one old preacher asked, why would you look back? They're going to be blessed, and will you not go with them? Why would you look back? They are fleeing from wrath. Would you not flee with them? Remember Lot's wife. These words, my friend, present a warning to you tonight. The challenge comes personally to you tonight. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We're reminded of the Lord God Jehovah's words in Genesis 6 and verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. The gospel call is extended to you individually. Will you not come to Christ tonight? Will you not escape for thy life? Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. No matter how things seem so good at the minute and all seems to be going well, perhaps, in your life, friend, you're in danger. If you're not right with God, you need to escape for thy life, and you need to escape right now. God has provided that way through the shedding of the blood of his own dear son at the cross at Calvary. Shed his precious blood there that we may be redeemed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Will you be like those within Sodom and make light of the warning? Make little of the message? Or will you be like Lot's wife and make some attempt perhaps to flee, but then sadly look back? Or will you receive Christ tonight, this very night, unto salvation? It has often been said that Abraham, he was a friend of God. Sadly, Lot was the friend of the world. But praise God, men and women, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, what? He's the friend of sinners. He's the friend of sinners. He exhorts you tonight to remember Lot's wife. If you're to be found in heaven when you die, you must escape for thy life and flee to Christ this very night. And I urge you, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. May God grant you the grace to flee to Christ this very night. You'll be found changed. You'll have that wonderful peace within your heart. You'll go from this place with a spring in your step, rejoicing in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your heart and life. We'll turn in closing to our closing hymn.